It's just always great to get together with family and extended family. Our family had we had some of her family together on Thanksgiving, but yesterday we were able to bring together some of Jody's side and some of my side's family here for a gathering at the church. I don't know, we had around 50-some people there yesterday. It was a really, really nice time to catch up with some people, and it was absolutely wonderful. I do this at different times, but I just want to say, especially again this morning, I'm thankful for our worship team and them making ready for us every week, and really, really good. As Pastor Scott mentioned a few moments ago, we're going to share in the Lord's Supper today together, another meal, yet more food. But there's a thought I want to share with you before we get to that. And, you know, one of the things that I've probably said to you before over the years is that one of the identifying marks of us as Christians should be our thankfulness. In fact, if you read in Scripture, it's one of those things like we know we're called to prayer, right? Right? We know that. We know we're called to pray. We know we're called to spend time in God's Word. We know we're called to be watchful, you know, just having our eyes towards heaven, paying attention to, you know, what God's doing, so forth and so on. But one of the constant echoing themes through Scripture, when all of that kind of stuff is talked about, is this idea of on top of that being thankful. It's kind of like the cherry, you know, when you get your sundae, right? It's kind of like Thanksgiving should be the thing that goes before us. The first thing people sense and see out of our lives is a sense of gratefulness. I thought of this verse, devote yourselves to prayer, be watchful and thankful. I thought of this verse in Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Or this one in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Be joyful always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And then this one, I love this one, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, it says, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful, right? It's like this thing it's like the tapestry of Scripture, and one of the threads holding all of that together is this notion of us being thankful or grateful. And as I thought about that this week, two stories came into my mind, and I want to remind you of them. I'm sure most of you have heard these stories before, but I want to draw your attention to them once again this morning. The first one is from the Old Testament, and it's a story about a guy named Naaman. He was a commander, or some have suggested a general, in the Syrian army. And if you know anything about history in that period of time in the Old Testament, Syria was one of Israel's arch enemies, right? They were kingdoms opposed to each other. They didn't get along, and yet they were neighbors. They were, you know, somehow in close proximity to each other. Well, Naaman became very famous in Syria because it was under his charge, under his command, that Syrian forces were able to conquer, a lot of territory. And so, you know, he rose in the ranks and became kind of like we would kind of like look at him in our American history like Patton, like George Patton, right? He was famous as a soldier, as a commander of the armies, and he became very powerful as a person. But he only had one huge problem. His problem was he had contracted leprosy. He had contracted leprosy. Let me just remind you of what leprosy is. Leprosy is a bacterial infection that left undetected. I'll talk to you about some of the complications of it in just a minute. But anyways, it's in these days that we're living right now, the only places it's primarily found is throughout Asia and Africa. But I did read this week that in the United States of America, there's about 100 cases a year of leprosy. About 100. That's according to WebMD, right? Remember I told you about WebMD a few weeks ago? Whatever you look for, it ends up, you got cancer, right? So anyways, so that's it. So anyways, according to their statistics, there's about 200,000 cases right now of leprosy in the world, and about 100 of those cases are found in America every year. Just a side note, there are no cases, so if you're sitting there thinking, I wonder if I have it, there are no cases in the northeastern part of the United States. Apparently in these cold conditions, it's not able to survive. So it's down south, out west in the far west is where they once in a while find some cases of leprosy. Left untreated, it can permanently damage your skin. It affects nerves, arms, legs, feet, eyes. And the complications look like they end up turning into blindness. I was going to put pictures up. By the way, we're not doing together anymore. You can take that thing off there. All right. So. Wait, this kind of faded away. Look at that. It's there and it's gone. So anyways, that ended last week in case you guys, I didn't tell you guys, but anyways, it ended last week. So Josh isn't here. Can you tell? I can tell Pastor Josh isn't here. We're all of our technical things there aren't together. All right, so anyways, complications from leprosy are blindness, disfigurement of one's face, kidney failure, muscle weakness that leads to claw-like hands, and feet that are disfigured and unable to flex. Permanent damage to the nerves leads to not being able to feel things. Like if you get, you know, you bump something or whatnot, you feel it, you know you got a problem, but somebody with leprosy doesn't. So those parts end up getting infected and many times having to be amputated because they haven't been properly dealt with, so and so on. Now, it was always thought historically that leprosy was highly contagious. And, you know, certainly in Bible times, that was true because the lepers were kind of, moved off to the side. In fact, in Leviticus, there's some specific directions given about how people are supposed to handle people with leprosy. And I think the distance, they projected the distance that somebody was supposed to stay away from the rest of the human population was about the length of our sanctuary here. They were to get other than other people who had leprosy, they were not to get to any closer than to somebody than about the distance of our sanctuary here. And if by chance somebody did come within that zone, Leviticus 13 says they were supposed to put their hand where my mustache is and holler the words unclean in hopes that the other people would hear them and begin to veer away. So not only was someone with leprosy dealing with the fear and anxiety of what that was doing to their own bodies, but they were intensely ostracized and marginalized from the rest of their culture, including their own immediate family. Now, it just so happens that this guy by the name of Naaman, contracted leprosy. He had leprosy, and he's in Syria. Syria is a pagan nation. It's a country that worships many gods. wasn't worshiping the same God that Israel was. Now, this is interesting. It's one of those divine providential things. But on one of Syria's raids, with him being the commanding officer, on one of those raids, they happened to take captive a young Jewish girl on one of their conquests. This young Jewish girl ended up becoming the handmaiden of Naaman's wife. So when Naaman found out that he had leprosy, and of course his wife heard about it, the the Jewish, the young girl who was Jewish by descent, who was a servant girl of his wife, heard about Naaman contracting leprosy, and she said this. This is recorded for you in 2 Kings chapter 5. She told them, this little girl now says, if he could meet the prophet in Israel, he would be healed of leprosy. You can read. It's there in chapter 5 of 2 Kings. Naaman hears about this from this young girl that providentially was living in the same house as Naaman. She says if he just could get to the prophet in Israel, he would be healed of his disease. Naaman hears about this, goes and asks permission of the king of Syria. You know, I heard that I can possibly find a cure or a remedy or be healed of leprosy if I go down and see the prophet. Well, the king says, yeah, you know, go. You know, here's some extra gifts. Take them along with you. You know, to make sure they are given to the powers that be there and let them know we're thankful. So Naaman goes, and he eventually, there were some events that occurred where he ended up going to the political people of the day, and they're like, what are you doing here? We can't help you. But finally, Naaman gets to Elisha, right? He was the prophet that the young girl was talking about. He finally gets to Elisha, and he goes with his entourage, and he goes to Elisha's house, and they go up and they knock on the door. But instead of Elisha answering the door and coming to greet Naaman, one of the servants went out and met Naaman, and apparently Elisha had heard about this situation. And so the servant tells Naaman what to do. He says, Elisha tells you to go down and dip in the Jordan River 7 times and you'll be healed. Right? Everybody with me so far? Okay. So Naaman, as you can imagine, he is a man of importance. Right? He is hacked off. He is upset that Elisha, the man of God for that moment in time, did not come out and greet him personally himself. You can imagine, right? Like, you know, you're sending out your servant, man. Well, I'm looking for the man of God. Where is he at? You remember that pastor-centric thing we talked about? He had it, right? He wanted the main dude, right? Have him come out and talk to me. So Naaman, instead of initially taking the word of the Lord that was coming through Elisha, through his servant, to Naaman, instead of initially taking it, he is upset. He is not in a good way, and he decides to go back home. And one of the things he says, he's on his way back home, he says, what in the world did I come all this way to dip in a dirty river when I got clean rivers at home I could have washed in, right? So he's hacked off, he's upset about this, but one of the people, it doesn't tell us who, but one of the people in his entourage says, hey, Naaman, we've come all this way, you know, why don't you just do it? Why don't you just go down there and dunk yourself 7 times in that dirty Jordan River? What's the worst that can happen? So instead of going home, he turns back, he does what Elisha had told him to do. He goes and he dips himself 7 times in the Jordan River. He comes up and his leprosy is gone. It's in 2 Kings chapter 5. His leprosy is gone. He obeyed what he was told to do by God and his leprosy was gone. Now, that part of the story, probably many of you have heard before, but I want to tell you, as Paul Harvey once said, the rest of the story. The rest of the story goes like this. It's short. Remember those gifts that Naaman had brought with them that the king had kind of sent his way? He offered them to Elisha. All of a sudden, he's not so mad anymore, as you can imagine. I've just gotten a new lease on life, right? I'm not going to die. I'm not going to waste away here. He realized what had happened to him. And so he took those gifts and he tried to give them to Elisha, and Elisha refused them. Because Elisha didn't want to take credit for something that God really did. Right? But it's this next part that's very interesting. You can read about it. Did I say that? In 2 Kings chapter 5. Naaman asked permission from Elisha to take as much dirt as he possibly could from Israel and transport it back to Syria. He said, can I take as much dirt as two mules are able to carry back with us to Syria? Does anybody happen to know what that dirt was for? Naaman was going to use that dirt to build an altar to God in Syria. Remember, a culture that knows not how to worship Jehovah or Yahweh. He is going to take that, and he says, Naaman says, I now know that there is no other God besides the God of Israel. So not only was there a change in his physical condition, there was a massive change in his soul, in his heart. He went from being a worshiper of, if you will, many gods in Syria, to a worshiper of the one and only true God of Israel. And in order to continue to do that well, he saw the need to take enough earth and dirt back with him to Syria in order to build an altar, his own altar to God. It's kind of interesting. There's a funny part of the story. He says to Elisha, he said, I'm still going to have to attend some of those pagan services. I hope God will still forgive me. But I want you to know that the God that I am now going to worship is the one and only true God, the God of Israel. I would say, I don't know about you, but I would say that Naaman was incredibly thankful for what occurred in that muddy Jordan River. There's all the evidence there that his heart was truly filled with incredible transformation and gratitude towards the one and only true God. All right, that's story number one. Story number two is from the New Testament. It also happens to be a scene where leprosy is involved. I want to read it to you. It's in, if you have your Bibles, I didn't make a slide to put it on the screen, so if you have your Bibles, it's found in Luke chapter 17. It's a short story, true story, but a short one. Luke chapter 17, beginning at verse 11. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. Just a little pause there before I read on. I know if you've been around here long enough to know that we've talked multiple times about, you know, who the Samaritans were, and it's interesting that this setting is in the region of right on the border of Samaria, which was north, and Galilee and the border and that north of Jerusalem, both of them. And Jesus did a lot of his fruitful ministry in the area of Galilee, so on and so on. So he's along there. He's in that particular region, that area. And as he was going into a village, verse 12 says, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance, probably that distance that they were accustomed to having to cry unclean, but this time they cry something else. It says they stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Some translations say, have mercy on us. But anyways, they were attracting his attention, asking for him to do something about their situation, something good, something positive. Verse 14 says, when they saw him, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. No river, no muddy river. Just obey what I'm telling you. Go and show yourselves to the priests. There's a whole backstory to that that I want to take the time to talk about this morning. But go show yourselves to the priests. And as they were going, it says they were healed. They were cleansed. There is a scene, I think you, did you show it recently in your, somewhere I saw it recently. I think it's in the movie Jesus, where the leper, not the 10, but one leper, I think that's in Matthew chapter 5, where he heals one person with leprosy. But anyways, there's a leper that comes, and they're all kind of haggard looking and whatnot. And, you know, because it's hard to show somebody, you know, being healed is an incredible moment. The person turns their back, but you get the impression that he heals this guy of leprosy. Anyways, I don't even know why I said that, but here we are. So here are these guys. Our guess is that they're disfigured, they're dressed in shabby clothes, their hair is unkept by law, that's what they had to do, and they're at this distance, keeping away from other people. Jesus tells them to just head towards the priest, and as they're going, they're cleansed, they're healed. So dramatic change, right? Right? I mean, we go back to the story of Naaman. Naaman's healed of leprosy. He realizes it. I can't believe it. You know, that whole thing. These 10 now are in the same state. They're all healed. Now, let's keep going. Verse 15. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. Remember, these guys are used to having the volume turned up, right? They're having to holler about what, you know, all the time. Unclean, unclean, you know, have mercy on us, have pity on us, so and so on. Now he comes back praising God in a loud voice, and he threw himself at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. One. Now, here's the part of this story that you know, we've heard that story before, right? But it's this next phrase that is the shocker. He was a Samaritan. The implication that's clearly being put forward here, because it goes down in a couple verses right here, it says, was there no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Naaman was a foreigner, right? He had come from Syria to Israel to find his healing and, I might add, salvation. Now here we come to the New Testament and we got the same thing happening. We've got somebody who's not in the chosen crowd, right? Getting healed, the implication is here the other 9 people weren't foreigners. Are you there? They were Jewish people who had leprosy. And here is this Samaritan, the only one coming back to say thank you. Now, what's that telling me? What's that saying to me? What's it speaking to you? What it's saying to me is that sometimes we don't really know how good we have it. We've lost sight of what to be thankful for. Right? Naaman got it. Right? He knew there was no help in Syria. He figured out that these gods that they worshiped there couldn't do anything for him. So on a hunch and taking the advice of a little young girl, it was the only hope he had. If I can get to Israel and hear from the man of God there, maybe I'll get some help. And that's what happened. A foreigner got healed. And he oozed with thankfulness, so much so that it's like, I'm going to take some earth back with me to Syria and worship God forever in the way that Israel does. In this setting, we've got 10 people now miraculously cured from a devastating disease. And only the foreigner came back to give him thanks. Now, I want to read the rest of this here and then make just another quick comment before we hear from you. In verse 19, it says, after we're the other nine, and is there no one except this foreigner? Then in verse 19, it says, then he said to him, rise and go, your faith has made you well. Do you remember what's when Naaman was healed? He wasn't only healed physically. Something transformed in him spiritually. When this Samaritan came back to offer, I might add, proper praise and thanks for what he had received, he received an added blessing that the other nine didn't. They never heard, rise and go, your faith has made you well. If you read that phrase elsewhere in the Gospels, you'll find out that it points to the fact that not only something has changed physically, but something has also happened spiritually in that person. Are you with me? Now, I say all that to say this. Even though our spiritual DNA, our one of the trademarks of us as followers of Christ should be thanksgiving, just thankful. We're just thankful for this and thankful for that. We're just thankful for all of it. I wonder sometimes if we become so blessed, so blinded by all of our blessings that we forget to kneel, right? And in a loud voice say, thank you so much, God. Like we just get, this is the way life is, right? I got a little blessing from God today, a little healing there, a little healing here, a little healing there. And we just don't go that extra step to really give God the praise and glory that he is due. I just wonder sometimes, because I don't know about you, but I don't want to become numb. Because leprosy has a way of numbing the nerves in the natural. And sometimes I wonder if that same type of thing happens to us on the inside, where our hearts just start to become dull and, whatever. I want every day to be a fresh experience, right? Every day to be like, wow, God, Jody was telling me about taking our little grandson over to Walmart, going to the toy aisle. It's like, shouldn't in a spiritual way, shouldn't every day be like that for us? Wow. Look what God's doing. Look what he did. Look what, you know what I mean? Do you know what I'm saying? It's like we're the kid in the toy aisle going, whoa, I get to be a part of this? Are you kidding me? Rather than saying, I'm in. It's good. Just another day. Somehow I think God wants us to stay appreciative. Amen. Grateful. Thankful for the incredible blessing of life, and particularly the life he's giving us given us in Christ. No, not just taking it for granted. Well, yeah, that was nice. But truly being thankful. Do you know the guy that we sang about this morning, the Lord that we sang about this morning, you know, he came from heaven to earth. We all know that, right? Came from heaven to earth. We're about to celebrate it once again. Came from heaven to earth to be among us. He came from absolute splendor to absolute poverty. Had everything, now got nothing. For you and I. And yet, the Son of God, one of the key things that you read about in Scripture, was a guy this week who reminded me of this. Jesus repeatedly said, Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Father, thank you. As he went about doing his life and ministry, Father, thank you. Thank you. He knew what was coming up the road, right? Yeah. But he still said, Father, thank you. Thank you. When he came to the table to share it with his disciples, he says he took the bread and he blessed it and he gave thanks for it. He took the cup and he was giving thanks all the time. Just thanking the Father. Father, thank you. Thank you for letting me be a part of your grand and glorious plan. Thank you for allowing me the privilege and the opportunity to bring change and transformation into this world of ours. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Was on his lips. Listen, I want to do something for just a few moments here this morning before we share in the Lord's table together. I said to you on the way out the door last week, I said, be thinking this week about, you know, things that you in your heart are thankful for. And I'm sure many of us could all say, you know, some similar things. I'm not even going to say them or else it'll kind of steal anybody's thunder. But, what are the kind of things that you are grateful for in your life? I was just going to take like 10 minutes here and just hear from your hearts this morning. Maybe it's something that you're thankful for. You just raise your hand. I'll bring a microphone to you. Okay, I got hands back here.
I want to thank God for what he gave to my children and I over a vision of my first husband passing. He gave us, it was a sad time, it was a hard time, and we're still dealing with a lot of things. But I'm so thankful to my God because he gave me a vision of my first husband sitting in at a chair where he had watched his grandchildren all day while his daughter and I worked. And he gave me a vision of him putting his hand on my husband's shoulder and saying, "Well done, Steve. You have been a wonderful grandpa, and you have worked hard, and now I'm taking you home." And I'm so thankful that he prayed the sinner's prayer with me, and he's up in heaven now. And my daughter received 2 days ago a vision in her dreams and woke up with God telling her that my dad was up in heaven, and he was saying to her, "Now we got him home." And he suffered with knees and a body that was aching all the time. And I just thank God he's got a new body now.
Thank you. Anyone else? I see that hand. Anybody while I'm back here? I won't forget you up there.
I'm just thankful for my family and my wife, my daughter, and soon-to-be son.
Awesome. Anybody else back here? some thankful people. Good to see you.
I just want to say that I'm thankful for this church community. About several years ago, my daughter Tiffany was diagnosed with cancer, and we came to your parish for a healing service, and today Tiffany is healed, and she is in California, and she's in this program called the Young Americans, where she's a singer and a dancer, and wow. They're going to be performing a Christmas show, and it's a miracle because during that time of cancer, she could not sing, and I didn't know if she would ever have her voice back. But today she does, and I just praise the Lord for her healing and for the spiritual gift of love that you have all given us in our family. And thank you so much.
Oh. Thank you. Jeff. Yeah.
I came through a real difficult mentally, physically, financially hard time this week. With all the activities coming on all at once and changes being made at last minute and blah, blah, blah. And it was real tough. And I got another one coming up this week, but won't be so bad because today when I left the house to come here, down in the field, I seen my sign that God gives me that always encourages me. It's my little sign between me and God. He showed me my turkeys. There were about 7 of them walking into my woods. And I just got really peace in my heart when I seen that sign. It was like, okay, we're going to make it. We're going to make it. Mm-hmm. So God is good all the time.
It's good. Rob?
I'm so thankful for a message like Pastor just preached, because leprosy, as he described it physically, spiritually, there's a leprosy as well, too. And I was deteriorating. And I'm just so thankful that I could hear a message like this that reminds me that I always, always have to give thanks to God for what he brought me out of and what he's bringing me into. And I also thank God, as Pastor said earlier, for the worship team, that I could enter into a time of worship of God where everything else around me means nothing, but I could just sing praises with this church that is to a God that is real in my life, as real as Pastor Jeff is. I haven't seen him, but he's real. And I thank God for that, and I do thank God for the time that I was able to spend with my family, too. We're kind of isolated down here, and yet my family came down and enjoyed the blessing that my wife is to our family with a great Thanksgiving meal, and I thank God for that.
Anyone else? I'll come over there in a minute.
I just want to thank God. I came through last 6 months through a divorce, and the devil tried to make it for my destruction, but God had different plans. And of course, there's two ways you can go. You can seek God or, you know, be mad. And of course, I was very angry at first, and so I backslid and, you know, thought I could party my anger away. And so I fell back into cocaine and pot and some drugs. And then in the midst of all this destruction, God never let me go, because I've been saved for 37 years. But I guess I was only a baby because, you know, I was lukewarm. And that's why the devil was able to come in and destroy and take from me. But God had a different plan, and he reached down and he pulled me out of there. And I said, God, it says, you know, my life is so bad. And I had to realize that I had to make Jesus my king over my life and my Lord and seek him first. And then he says now that I can start to do what he wants. So I called on him. I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And so he got me back into the Word and into this church. I've been coming here about 6-7 weeks, and I just got to give him so much praise and glory beyond what I can even express for delivering me from all these drugs. I'm totally free, and I'm so thankful. And now my life is straight and focused with on the path straight for him. And he's just filled me up with so much love and joy and blessed me on every wave. I mean, I am just so grateful, so thankful. And he's my Lord, my Savior, Deliverer, Redeemer, my Healer, and my joy. Awesome. Thank you, Lord.
A couple more. Just a couple more. I got one back here. You're my wife.
I am so thankful that God gave me life when I almost lost it 29 years ago. And he gave me this wonderful husband, these wonderful friends, and this wonderful church. And I'm just so overwhelmed and thankful.
That's awesome. Good. So.
I just thank God that he pulled me from the pit and blessed my family and I with a godly legacy. I'd also like to thank him for most churches have more women than men. And that's kind of a sad statement about our culture, but I thank God for the godly women. Amen.
I just want to thank, and it was instilled on me, God just instilled on me, some time ago, and as I drive through town and drive on my way to work, and I took note of our flag, and I see the flag in the post office and in people's houses, and certainly when you come into town, you see that flag, the Kless Boys flag, and God just struck my spirit and said, I am so thankful for that flag, for what it represents and the freedoms that we have. That flag's been through a lot. We are blessed. God has blessed us. So I just don't look at the flag anymore as a piece of cloth. For what it represents, I'm just thankful for this country that we have.
Mm-hmm. I am just very thankful for clean water. And this week, the night before Thanksgiving, something went on our pump and we didn't have water. And you just realize how everything comes to a halt. It's like, oh, what are we going to do tomorrow? You know, people are coming. And when you don't have clean water, everything comes to a halt. And God has just, I'm thankful that he's made me aware of how important water is to everything. And that we kind of just take it for granted here in this country. But there are a lot of people around the world who don't have clean water. And we need to be aware of that and thankful for what we have. And then share that blessing with others of clean water.
I'm quite confident that no one in here this morning has leprosy in the natural. I'm very sure of that. Otherwise, you would have been hollering unclean. But throughout the Bible, there seems to be this correlation between leprosy in the natural and sin in the spiritual. In the same way that leprosy infects and left undealt with deteriorates a human body, in the same way as sin infects us, left undealt with, deteriorates our soul. There's all kinds of, you know, this going on in the Bible about that. And while you may not be here this morning needing to give thanks and falling on your knees before Jesus and in a loud voice saying, thank you for being healed from leprosy, I think all of us should take note that because of this table we're about to engage in, there is a means of being healed from the condition called sin. It's called the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And as you and I humble ourselves before God, what I think that means is that we're saying, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. I need what you have to offer me. Whether you're just coming out of the ravages of sin and it still feels fresh in your heart and mind, or whether maybe you've been, you know, doing the church, Christian, walking, following after God thing for a long time, we are still all in need of saying, Lord, have mercy on me. And this morning, as we share in this table, I want to invite you, both saint and sinner, to cry out to him and give him thanks for what his Spirit is enabled to do in our hearts and lives, to bring that transformation, to bring that change, to take us from being infected to being uninfected, to take us from being dominated by to a place of liberty and freedom. Lord, I just want to pray this morning as we gather around your table that the person and the work of the Holy Spirit will be here just engaging us in our hearts and in our minds, Lord, to think once again, Lord, about your ability to forgive us, your ability to cleanse us, as your word says, to make us, instead of having the white like snow leprosy, to be made snow white. Lord, we have much to be grateful for. Much to be thankful for, both in the natural and in the supernatural. As we together reflect upon that today, may thanksgiving just begin to rise up in us. Years later, some more disciples are gathered here around that similar setting, Lord. And Lord Jesus, today we're thanking you. We're thanking you for what you did for us. Thank you for obeying your Father's wishes. Thank you for doing what was undoable by us. Thank you for what you bore in this body that's represented that we hold in our hands. And thank you for making all of that available to us. And the only thing you ask us to do is to humble ourselves and cry out, O God, have mercy on us. We do that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's partake together. Listen, I'm really sensing something here, the Lord, this morning. There are some among us who need a divine healing from God. Michelle, I know you're standing in the back there. If you're here this morning and you need a physical healing, I'm going to ask you to stand wherever you're at. I know this isn't normal for communion. I got that. Joe, you need a healing. Yes. Okay, you see some folks standing around you there that need a miraculous touch from God. Just take a couple minutes. Grace them with your hands. Grace them with your presence. Try not to spill your juice. Begin to pray over them. Begin to intercede for them. Begin to cry out for them. I believe the Holy Spirit is here to minister healing to people this morning. Just like he did to Naaman, just like he did to the 10, that God would bring healing to those bodies and lives and hearts that are here today. Go ahead, pray over them. You can pray. Pray. Lord, we thank you that one of the huge benefits that you have blessed us with through the shedding of your blood is that we have access to that tree of healing, to that tree of life. Lord, you have given that to us. And so this morning we pray for those who are standing here, Lord, who are in need of a divine touch from you. I ask in the name of Jesus that you would open heaven over top of every heart, over top of every life, Lord, over top of every body. We pray this morning that cancers would be gone, Lord. We pray that kidneys would find rejuvenation. We pray, Lord, that you would just show up. Leprosy was incurable in its day. And Lord, some of these things that are being talked about here among us, some have said there's no hope. I'm praying in the name of Jesus for hope and life for everybody that's standing before you today, Lord, that you would bring the resurrection life of Jesus Christ to each and every body and life, Lord. Come and bring your healing, Holy Spirit, we pray. When we gather around your table, you promise us your presence. We're praying that that healing part of your presence, Lord, would find its way to every life that needs it here this morning. In Jesus' name, let miracles happen here this morning, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for the testimony of that young girl that many years ago you brought back from very bleak situation, Lord. You brought her back, and today she's, you know, serving you out west someplace. We're asking, Lord, that ones that are standing today and a year from now or 2 years, 3, would have testimonies to tell of how you touched them, Father. Bring healing their way, we ask in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for your blood. We thank you for the forgiveness that it brings to our hearts and lives and makes us clean again. Delivers us from our spiritual leprosy, Lord. We thank you that it's been poured out for us. It didn't need to be poured out for you, but you gladly poured it out for us. Lord, together we just want to say a big thank you to you this morning. I'm wondering on the count of three, if we could lift up our voice in a shout, in a cheer of thanksgiving this morning. Just thanking him for his body and his blood. 1, 2, 3. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've done for us, God. We praise you. We thank you. Let's now partake together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I feel like Jesus is saying to us as a congregation this morning, rise and go. Your faith has made you well.